listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
We welcome you to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. Tim Tarantine here, happy to have with me Amanda Harrison. Amanda, you had a great conversation this week. I know you're excited about it. Tell us all about that chat.
You're right. I am excited and I am here to tell you about it. So today you're going to hear from Tim Schramm. He is a managing director and one of the leaders of Grant Thornton's credit and incentive practice. Tim has over 20 years of experience negotiating for state and local incentive packages on behalf of his clients and has secured them millions of dollars worth of incentives through his negotiations. He's worked with clients in a number of industry sectors and is one of his organization's leaders, specifically in the food and beverage industry. In his previous work history, Tim also worked at KPMG. So again, he's got that great tax experience that we hear about a lot in this industry, but sit back and enjoy today's conversation with Tim. Hi, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us today on An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants, and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Amanda. It's great to be with you today, and I'm thrilled to be included as one of the top site selection consultants.
Well, we are so glad you're able to join us today, so we'll get started right away with this question. What are three things that everyone should know about you?
Well, I think the first thing is family. I'm the proud father of two young boys, ages 10 and 5, and they keep my wife and I quite busy. I think the next thing is that I'm a Midwesterner. I grew up in Michigan and went to Indiana University and then have lived in Chicago for the past 15, 20 years. And the last thing is that I'm an avid hockey fan. So not only do I follow my Detroit Red Wings, but I also still play hockey. So it's a big part of my life, and I'm trying to convert my two sons into being Red Wings fans, but they're Blackhawks fans because we have two Blackhawks that live across the street from us.
Wow. Yeah, it would be pretty hard to beat having some Blackhawks as your neighbor, but I also love to hear that you're a Red Wings fan since I'm a Michigan girl. So that's a great start to our conversation today. Tell us, how did you first get involved in site selection?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be in the business for over 20 years, and I really kind of fell into it. I started at KPMG in their state and local tax group, and that was when incentives, I think, were really coming on the scene, and we started to see a lot of discretionary programs and started getting more and more involved in negotiating incentives at that point. You know, I kind of look back, and I've been doing it for 20 years, and I just really like the variety of the project work and having significant impact on our clients' projects.
So with a couple of decades of experience in this industry, you've got to have a couple of secrets up your sleeve that you lean on when you're working on a project. So can you share maybe one of those inside secrets with us today?
Yeah, I think for me, it's more quantitatively driven, so it's more incentive focus. So really what I look for, the secret that I tend to look for, is really flexibility. What makes communities stand apart from others is just the ability and the variety of a toolkit from an incentive standpoint so that they can offer multiple types of incentives and not just income tax credits that many times are not fully utilized by our clients. So that's really the key for me. That's one of the things that differentiates a community is having a good understanding of what's in their toolkit and how those incentives are used.
Absolutely. So aside from incentives and maybe kind of the cost structure or package, what are you hearing from your clients these days that seem to be the key issues for them?
Well, a very common concern or common issue is really the availability of a qualified workforce. And I'm sure that's nothing new to anybody out there. Really, what communities are doing where they're making an impact and developing and providing training is starting the training process a little bit earlier. And a unique aspect of addressing a qualified workforce, I saw in one community where they actually took inventory of their industry groups and they developed some training and developmental programs around those industry groups at a very early age. So they started to work with high schoolers and junior hires so that they actually would be better qualified into the future. So just playing up to their strengths.
Yeah, that's great practical advice and a good example of something you've seen done so far. In addition to maybe workforce preparations or helping grow the labor and the talent pool in a community, have you seen good, effective tools that communities can invest in that maybe aren't super expensive?
Yeah, as far as being able to get the word out of a community's strengths, I think just being notified electronically, just a simple email, is a pretty good marketing tool where a community doesn't have to spend a lot of money. That's been pretty effective for me.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's good to hear. Turning to you as a leader, Tim, how do you define success?
Well, I think for me, and I guess for what I do professionally, success really relates to our client service and a successful project. So typically what I look for is an outcome where it's a win-win situation. And I know that's cliche, but our clients need to understand that they're investing in a community for the long term. And as long as they feel like they got a good deal and the community got a good deal from a job creation and investment perspective, that's a success for me. As long as you create a long-term success, that's what we're looking for.
And you've obviously been recognized as one of the top 50 site consultants in this industry. So you're recognized by your peers and by economic developers as a leader. So can you talk to us about one leadership lesson that you rely on or that you carry with you and could pass on to others?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, a good leader is somebody who inspires the best out of others and themselves. And the lesson that I've learned is that you need to cast a very positive shadow. And if you talk a good game, that's one thing, but it's really how you live your principles and really live and act showing a good example. So that just casting a positive shadow, you know, leading with your actions is really the leadership skill that I've learned.
And as you reflect back on your career and on some of those leadership moments that you've experienced, can you think back to maybe one project that you worked on and it really was a best case example of a community or an economic development group coming together and just going above and beyond for your project and for your client? Is there one best case example that you can tell us a little bit about?
Yeah, you know, I'll use a very recent example. I had a project where the state and the local community, really, we put them in a very difficult position. And for whatever reason, a lot of it is driven by the client's timeline. So timing was a major issue, and it always seems like it is. But the state and the local community collaborated really well, and they responded and were very flexible and was able to meet our client's needs and actually get us an incentive offer in less than a week. So it was something that they expedited the process in a number of different ways, and they exceeded our expectations. You know, that's a pretty good example. I think another good example that I have is really where a state showed the ability to go above and beyond in communication. So we had a client that was relocating their headquarters or considering relocating their headquarters from one state to another. In the home state, we had a difficult time communicating or getting a call back from the project manager. But in the new state, the governor actually called. So it really was a stark contrast in how to do business and how to communicate with prospective companies.
Yeah, and listening to both of those examples, I am picking up the collaboration and the communication themes that you're mentioning. And I know that those are huge. And all economic developers listening today can definitely relate to that and take note of that. But as we close our podcast, if you could tell a room full of economic developers just one more thing, what would that be?
Well, I guess, you know, the advice or suggestion that I would have is to really be focused and emphasize your strengths. Don't try to be everything to everybody and really elaborate on your strengths and build your economic development policy or really your master plan around what you do well. If it's a certain industry group or if it's leveraging off of a educational institution, that's definitely how you want to build your practice and keep it focused and emphasize your strengths.
Awesome. Tim, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. I have really appreciated talking with you, and I know all of our listeners
are going to love the insights and the expertise that you've shared. And we just want to congratulate you one more time on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Great. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.